You get me. Some of you guys are thinking, again? That's okay. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? It's a full house. Praise God. Man. Has God been good to you? Even in the difficult times? Or what we may think, you know, a lot of the times we tend to make mountains out of molehills and make our problems a lot bigger than what they actually are. But I was sitting there in the chair during worship, and, you know, I was just, you know, I'm not trying to get all spooky natural, but I'd come under attack from the enemy, beginning to tell me that I'm not worthy, and, you know, what you have to say is not relatable, and just all these things. Just that's something that I always dealt with. I never really had a problem with drug addiction or alcohol addiction, but my mind is where the enemy attacked me, and it's funny because God's turning that around right now, because what I'm speaking about, one of the topics is changing your perspective on how you view things. And so what the enemy thought he can keep me from staying quiet and keep me choked up on the microphone, that I wouldn't be able to communicate God's word and what he wants for you guys this morning, he's completely turned that around and giving me inspiration to continue to encourage you guys, because I'm sure what I'm going to speak about this morning is something that we're all going through or have gone through at some point. And as the service was transitioning, the songs and the scripture, it all just lined up. And I love it when God does that. I didn't communicate with anybody about what I was speaking about, what scriptures I had or anything, but it's all just lined up. And so, you know, you guys know me. I like titles and messages because it helps you remember. So look to your neighbor and tell them triple P. Triple P. You should be able to remember that, right? Triple P. I call it triple P because we're talking about perspective. We're going to talk about push. And then we're going to talk about persevere. And things in the Bible that we go through or that people have gone through, compare that to what we've gone through, and just see how God can help us, relying on God, trusting in God, having faith that he's going to see us through it, right? Have I told you guys, you know, when you've been preaching for a few years, sometimes you forget what you shared and haven't shared. Have I shared the manure story with you guys? Sweet. All right, so we got any gardeners here? Anybody has their own garden? Maybe flowers out in the front of the house or anything like that. Have you ever used steer manure? Right? Use steer manure. You've got everything seeded. You've blended it with the soil, everything. You start watering it. And, you know, you go in the house and you've been around the steer manure all day while you're working it. And then you come outside and you're, oh, man, what stinks? It stinks. Manure stinks. But after some time goes by, the smell begins to dissipate, and then you begin to see these strong, beautiful, vibrant flowers or vegetables. That's kind of like our life. Sometimes it stinks, but if we can endure the smell for a while, we come out of the situation stronger, more beautiful, and we shine like those beautiful flowers in the garden to the world. And all they see is the shiny part, but they don't know what you've been through. They don't know at some point you had to change your perspective that this might stink for a little while, but in the end, I'm going to be so much better for this, and I'm going to be able to help other people after this, right? The power of testimony is so great. Got another story. I like to tell stories. We just had the Olympics recently. So it was a Hungarian sharpshooter with a pistol. You know, he had taken several medals over the years. This was 80s, 90s, somewhere around there. And he was great with his pistol. And he got in a car accident. Got in a car accident, lost his right arm. He went for, you know, his shooting arm. He went for months just in this spiraling depression and stayed in his room, didn't get out, and his wife was worried about him, and he just didn't know what, God, you took the only thing that I was living for in my life. You took it from me. And so he was angry. And one day his wife was doing dishes, and she saw him walk past the kitchen window with a pistol in his hand. and he went around the barn. And she stopped what she was doing, and she was running out there, and she was just about to go around the corner of the barn, and she heard a gunshot. So she took a deep breath, thinking the worst, that maybe he had taken his own life. But she saw him back there learning to shoot with his left hand. He changed his perspective in his situation in his life. He went on to win the silver medal with his left hand, all because he didn't give up. He pushed through, he changed his perspective, and he persevered in the end. Amen. Now, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Well, I lied. I am missing the chapter somehow, but I have the verses. What I did is I had the verse title below the verse, and I moved it to the top, and it got rid of it. So we're in 2 Corinthians somewhere, chapter 16 to 18. And this is what it reads, and I'll give it to you afterwards once I find it. It says, "This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now, rather we fix our gaze on the things that we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Did anybody find that? What was the chapter? 4. There you go. Technology, you got to love it. You know, I look back on my life and think of the things that I've experienced. My time in the military, the difficulties that, you know, you go through basic training and all the trouble that the drill sergeants cause you, yelling at you, screaming at you, making you do things over again, even though you did it right the first time. It was all in preparation to deal with things mentally. When things aren't going your way or you have a plan and it goes crazy, what are you going to do? Are you going to give up? No. When you're in a firefight, if you give up because your plan on infiltrating a certain village didn't work out, you're dead. You can't give up. You have to be able to change your perspective and shift. So in our walk with Christ, we have this plan that we want to see maybe our friends or family members saved or a coworker saved, and you go to share the gospel, and then you get shut down. What do? Do you stop sharing the gospel? Or do you change your perspective and find some way that you can connect with them and communicate God's love to them through you? A lot of the times, it's just your actions. I've experienced it being at the Chamber of Commerce in the town of Harrison. I've gotten so much unnecessary flack just because I'm a part of a group of people. We're a party planning committee, and sometimes I get rolled up in old issues, but I still choose to show Christ's love by communicating with those people, regardless of how they treated me. And that's difficult. That's difficult to do because the flesh in me, I could cut people off, no problem, and forget they ever existed, the fleshly side of me. But I know God has me in a position for a reason, so I just have to change my perspective on those situations. The time in the military prepared me for difficult jobs. Some of those jobs prepared me for ministry. Ministry is difficult. It's lonely. It's tough. There's a lot of you and only one of me kind of a thing. There's a lot of opinions, just endless amount of things. You guys get my point. But if I didn't go to the military and have to deal with the criticism that the drill sergeant was giving me, then I wouldn't have the mental fortitude to withstand judgment, of maybe something that I would say or how I would look or how I would dress. And when I was a district youth director, there was churches all within our district that had their own way of doing things. And a lot of the times, me being the youth guy, the youth pastors are usually the crazy ones, and nobody trusts. They think they're going to get a bunch of kids killed going and doing some fun activity, but we don't. We have a good time, and we make it. But, you know, there was a lot of adversity that I had to go through when planning for youthful events. But everything that I went through, if I didn't persevere, I wouldn't be where I am today. I don't even know if I would be in church if I didn't push through and trust God that He was on the other end. My first few years of youth ministry, I wanted to quit. The first 2 years were the roughest. And it wasn't even the kids. It was the parents. It was tough. But God had given me a dream. And it was basically somebody else's dream in reverse. You know, when Joseph was interpreting for the Pharaoh of they were going to have these 7 years of abundance and that they needed to save the grain so that they could survive the 7 years of famine. God showed me that dream, but He says, right now you're going through a famine, but over time you're going to have abundance. So just hang on. And that's what I did. And it was some of the worst 4 years of our lives. And in the end, we saw the benefits of it. Four of the kids that used to be in our youth group are now youth pastors of their own youth group. So if I would have given up, not that it was anything that I did, but if I would have given up, they may have never been put in positions where they could, experience that. And so each and every one of us have relationships in our lives that if we don't give up on and we keep persevering and change our perspective on how we speak to folks, that's going to lead somewhere. There's going to be fruit to that. Just like the garden stinks, but eventually the fruit comes forward. We have to keep on guarding. We have to keep on plowing. We have to keep on watering. I had to learn to change my perspective to begin to experience things in my life. Now, I normally am a negative person. I don't know why. I was, I guess, brought up that way. I'm a pessimist at heart. And when I think about things, sometimes I automatically think of the negative. And that attitude is it's toxic. It can make you lead to wanting to quit a lot of the times. But there was just something in me that just said, look at it a different way. Think of it a different way. And I'm going to give you an example here because someone handed me their bulletin. Let's see. Let's do the bulletin. You can help me out, Logan. Come on. All right. So I see sermon notes. What do you see?
Calendar?
No, I see sermon notes. What do you see? I see sermon notes.
Oh,
okay. Well, let's change our perspective. Okay. Make a fresh start. And sermon notes. We changed our perspective, right? I saw your perspective, and you saw mine. We ended up both being right. Thank you. You guys get the gist, right? Sometimes when you're having the conversations with folks, you have to, you hear, but you're not listening. You have to listen to understand their perspective. Then you can respond with the love that Jesus talks about when we're witnessing or in a debate with somebody about Jesus or about life, right? You have to be willing to listen in order to be heard. Does that make sense? You have to change your perspective. So when I was a kid in high school, a football coach during the summer was a farmer, and he would hire us for, I don't know, a couple bucks an hour to go hoe the weeds in the cotton field. And we're like, yeah, we're going to make all kinds of money. We can save up for that car that I want. And yeah, get out there. It's 104 degrees, and we start chopping weeds down the cotton field, and we're going, and starting to get tired and getting sweaty, and you look up, oh, man, I still had all that to go? 5-6 acres on foot with a hoe is, that's a lot of work. And so instead of being like, forget this, this is for the birds, I quit, I'll go, you know, work as a cashier somewhere. I looked back and I saw how far I came. And I was like, wow, I've come just as far as I have left. If I did that, I can finish this. And I did. And God reminded me of that story that I changed my perspective, that it's not how far I have left to go. It's look how far I've come. And that's us in our daily walk, is we have this I think sometimes this picture of where we want to be in our relationship with Christ. And when it doesn't turn out that way, you're faced with, I got this much more to go. Do I give up? But then I look how far back when I was trapped in my sin and my addictions, and this is where I'm at now. We have to change our perspective daily. And so I began to develop a trigger in my mind that whenever I'm faced with that difficulty, I just try and think about it a different way. Did I cause this problem myself for my poor decision, or is this just a bad situation that I'm in? If I caused the situation myself, then I'm dummy, don't do it again. If it's a situation that I find myself caught up in that's out of my control, God, help me to get out of this the fastest way possible. Which leads me to our next point, is push. Not only do we have to change our perspective, we have to push. And the Webster's Dictionary defines it as a vigorous effort to do or obtain something. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, see, I got the chapter this time. I apologize for the last one. But it says in verse 1, it starts, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Sometimes I feel that when the Holy Spirit leads us, it's not always beside peaceful streams in quiet pastures, like it says in Psalms 23:2. But that's not necessarily true. He led Jesus into the wilderness for a long and difficult time of testing, and he may also lead us into difficult situations. And I go on to finish the scripture a little bit later, but when we are facing trials, first, again, we have to make sure that we haven't brought those things on ourselves. I don't know how many times that I've prayed for somebody at an altar call. They, explain the situation, and, you know, I pray for them the way God is leading me to pray for them, and then a couple weeks later or so, they're up at the front, and it's the same prayer, and then I pray how God leads me. Then a couple weeks later, it's the same situation. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing about the problem? I made this quote before. I said, God didn't create us to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. He's equipped us to take care of problems by ourselves. And it's okay to have faith and trust God, but you got to meet him in the middle. You got to meet God halfway on these situations, you know. Otherwise, we're just flipping coins into a wishing well. We got to have that relationship with God. If I didn't have a relationship with my wife, and I only went and talked to her when I wanted to be intimate with her, how well do you think that would work? Not very well. There's got to be a relationship. There's got to be that connection, that communion. And I think a lot of the times, We think that relationship with God is some big, drastic thing with these long, drawn-out prayers, and we're in a specific posture with our fingers crossed, and it's just, no, God, I need you today. My boss is being tough on me. Help me to change my perspective so that I can change the situation. Or, Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost and change his attitude right now. You know, there's those situations, but you have to be in the relationship 50-50. It makes 100%. And I think a lot of times we forget about that. God, what can you do for me? Not what can I do for you, God? So we got to push through these difficult times. And when we face trials, we got to make sure that we didn't cause them on ourselves by our unwise choices. If there is no sin to confess or unwise behavior to change, then ask God to strengthen you for your test. And finally, be careful to follow faithfully wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. Now, I do have a story that I shared when I preached on, what was it, Veterans Day, I think. But this is a quote from Samuel Whitfield, and it says, God often creates desert places to form people and prepare them for his purpose. You cannot manufacture a desert experience, but you must understand it when God leads you into the desert place. You must understand it when God leads you to the desert place. When many people find themselves in the desert, the first thing that they want to know is when the desert season will end. How do you know when you're ready to leave the desert? When you don't care if you ever leave. So that's when you know. So God puts you in the desert to set you apart so that nothing else matters anymore except hearing his voice and knowing him. That's the point of the desert. God uses the desert to form and fashion vessels, and he matures every believer in a unique way. I had my desert experience. I had my desert moment. It was the 6 years in the Army. Going to basic training was the first time I even left the state, the first time I was away from my mom. And there wasn't a time where, Mom, the drill sergeant's being mean to me. Like, I didn't have that to go home to. It was just me. And the only thing that I had was a real small military King James Bible that someone gave me at my going away party when I left. And so I dug it out of my rucksack, and I sat on the top bunk in my 65-man bay in Lawton, Oklahoma, or at Fort Sill, and I started to read, and I was reading with my little red light. And the other soldiers around me began to notice, and they said, hey, what are you doing? I said, reading. They said, what you reading? I said, the Bible. And they said, why? And I was like, okay, God, I see it. And so I told them, I said, well, you know, if I'm dealing with a difficult time or something, it's got this thing in the back of the Bible, I can look up what I'm dealing with, and it points me to Scripture. And that Scripture usually talks about somebody who's dealing with that or have dealt with it before and how God has, you know, helped them through that situation. And they go, read some. I am not the best out loud reader. You've already heard me. I got a third grade reading level. But I began to read to guys every night in the Bay, and they got to hear the gospel all over the United States. So one guy was from the Samoan Islands. One guy was from Kenya, Africa. And so the desert place that God formed me, I was by myself, and I had nowhere to turn but to him. So, again, I changed the perspective on my situation, and I had to push through with God's help. I had to meet God in the middle. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 14. It's another one. This is the continuation of chapter 4 that I read earlier. And it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. And I think a lot of the time when we experience times of difficulty, we focus on, if we focus on God, we're going to come through the other side stronger. Have you guys heard that old country song, if you're going through hell, keep on going, don't look back, keep on moving? And it's basically just saying when difficult times arrive, just keep pushing through, keep trucking on, and you're going to make it on the other side. When you make it through the other side, your faith is going to be stronger and your trust in God is going to be stronger. If you look at David in the Bible, he was able to face Goliath because he knew that God was already with him through the lion and through the bear. And he knew that God was with him through the lion and the bear. So what's this giant? It was easy for him because he knew that God delivered him from those two. He's going to deliver him with this giant that's in front of him as well. So I think if we look at situations, we've all experienced things in our life, right? We're still here. We're still kicking. Sometimes it was kicking and screaming, but we're still here. But God brought us through it. And that giant that's in front of you right now, you got to have the same amount of faith in God to take it down now as the faith that you had when God brought you through the last problem. Does that make sense? I think that's when we're on our biggest on fire for God, is when we have a situation that we pray for and we get that breakthrough and we're like, God, nothing is too big for you. And we're all on fire, and then eventually things just kind of settle down and go back to normal. It's keeping that fire stoked and attacking that next situation with the same amount of fire as God brought us through. Does that make sense? We got to push through. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, this is something that all America needs right now. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of stuff that you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. It's just a little while. It's just a little while. How many of you guys know God's little while is not the same as our little while? Perspective, that's it. And it tells us that you're not the only one going through something. We all are. Whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or going to happen 10 years in the future, we're all experiencing trouble. But it says when you suffer a little while, he will restore you. He will support you, strengthen you, and place you on a firm foundation. I believe everything that I've experienced in my life through military and jobs leading up to this point in my life has built that firm foundation and that trust on Jesus Christ, that I know that I don't have to hit rock bottom anymore to realize that God is the rock at the bottom. I just got to stand on the foundation and not give in to the things that will make that foundation weak. I got to stay strong. I got to change my perspective. I got to push through that current circumstance. In Romans chapter 8:18, it says, Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. Everything happens for a reason. We know that we are going to experience troubles because the Bible tells us. I talked about this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, that when we choose to follow Jesus, we have to count the cost, and that it's going to be worth it when that healing happens, when that healing takes place, when that loved one comes to know Jesus. It's worth it. When that promotion finally kicks in, it's going to be worth it. Just to keep on keeping on. Make sure everybody's still awake. Look at your neighbor and tell them it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Now, moving on to my final point here, and that's persevere. Persevere is defined as continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. And I got a lot to read here, so this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16 through 28. And this is talking about Paul. Paul's talking to these guys, and He's telling them, you guys boast about this and you boast about that. Those are only, you know, human accomplishments. And you know, I'm a Jew and I've done this and I've done that. And we're going to experience a little bit of what the cost is for serving Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 16 through 28. If I'm moving too fast, just tell me, whoa. I get nervous when there's a lot of dead air, so I fill it with hot air until we get there. So, all right, this is what it says, starting at verse 16. It says, again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me. As you would listen to me as a fool, as you would listen to a foolish person. I also boast a little bit. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are someone. Hold on. You think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that, but whatever they dare to boast about, I am talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. That last little section sounds a little familiar to me. Verse 20, I'll read it again. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, and takes control of everything and slaps you in the face. I'm not going to get political, but. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas, and I have faced danger from the men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. So you see, Paul endured all of this to spread the gospel and to share the love of Jesus Christ. And in the end, it was all worth it. Because of Paul's ability to change his perspective, to push through many trials in the name of Jesus, he was able to persevere. Some of us would have given up on following Jesus a long time ago, midway through listing some of those things. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying in general, if you take general folks and you put a little pressure on them for something, a lot of the times they'll be like, all right, I give up. And I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. But not anybody in here, right? Because we know how to change our perspective. We know how to push through. And we know that if we do those two things that we'll persevere. We already know the end is already written. We win in the end. Whether God calls us home early or he comes back for us, we win. Amen. Because we have a hope in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. It's just pushing through this journey that we have called life. And I will tell you, stewing in the negative will definitely make your life a lot shorter. So change your perspective. Things that are outside of your control, push through them, and we'll persevere. Did I tell you guys about the horse story? Horse story? I forget all the stories. This one's really good, and it has to do with perspective and enduring, and there will be perseverance in the end. So there was a man, him and his son had a farm together. They had a neighbor next door. And one day, their only horse that they had ran away. Neighbor comes over, man, it's bad luck, your horse ran away. And the guy says, what do I know about that? What do I know about good luck or bad luck? Well, the next day, that horse that ran away brought 6 more horses with him. And the neighbor says, hey, it's good luck that that horse ran away because you have all these horses now. And he's like, what do I know about good luck or bad luck? One of the days that the guy's son, the farmer's son, was working with the horses trying to get them trained, one of the horses kicked him and broke his leg. The neighbor says, it's a shame all those horses came because now your son's got a broken leg. You know, what do I know about this? Good. And the next day, a bunch of guys, leaders of a gang, came to the town to recruit people for their gang. And they went to take the son, but they saw that he was lame with a broken leg, and then they moved on. The neighbor comes over and said, it's a good thing that those horses came and broke your son's leg because now he's not a part of this gang. And he says, what do I know about good luck or bad luck? But the whole point behind that story is the guys, you change your perspective in the situation. One day your horse is gone. The next day you have 6 more. Well, it's kind of like life, right? We experience these good times and these bad times, and it's all about perspective. What I may think is a terrible thing, some of you might think is like, that's a good experience to see God grow in your life. You know, as tough as that is to hear. But I do know without a doubt, and I've experienced it, and I know a lot of you have experienced it, and, you know, I'm only 37 years old. Trust in God. Change your perspective on your situation. Push through, I think, is the most difficult thing is pushing through, because when emotions are involved, it's very hard to make wise decisions. Push through and you will persevere in the end. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today, Lord. Very simple, just 3 words, God. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit guide us every day, that it helps us to view things from your point of view, that we compare our situation and we handle it in the way that your word says to, that we not have a knee-jerk reaction to a situation, but we change our perspective. God, and when we find ourselves in situations that are out of our control and we don't see an end in sight, we know, God, we know that you are in control of everything. You are not surprised by anything. It is us, Lord, that have to endure. And if we push through and we meet you halfway in the middle, God, we know that in the end that we'll persevere. We know that we will be with you, whether you come back or our time on this earth is over with. But we know that you have called us all to share our testimony, to reach others, and to share your love through situations that you have intervened in on our behalf, God. God, I ask that you encourage each and every person here this morning to tell somebody about how good you are and what you've done in their life. God, help us to see that you didn't create us just to sit in these pews and listen to someone speak for 30 minutes. You've created us to go out into the world and to spread your love through our actions, through our finances, through our words, and through your word. Encourage us, strengthen us, give us the boldness to walk with our heads high for you, God, and to tell somebody that you love them and point them to Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, I guess we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Have a blessed day. That's it. The end.